Shalom, saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant. So apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a Messianic Hebrew Roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, shalom, saints, and welcome to our Thursday's Searching the Scriptures. Today, we are continuing in our verse-by-verse study of Deuteronomy, and we're in Deuteronomy chapter number 31. We're going to be looking at 30 verses in this chapter, and the title of this particular chapter message is A Prophecy of Israel's Destruction. Certainly want to welcome all of you who are here, those of you who are joining us online. Certainly appreciate you joining in with us. Today, as we have discussed, we're going to be looking at this particular teaching, and I'm encouraging you, if you have questions from the teaching, please write them down, because at the end of our teaching today, you're going to be given an opportunity to ask questions. And then you'll also be given an opportunity to give and to receive prayer.
Our mission statement is restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings: I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be in your presence again with one another. And we pray your presence manifest mightily in the midst of us. We certainly welcome your presence in the midst of us today and ask, Father, that you will move from person to person, not only in this place, but in the places and spaces where people are joined together and gathered, wherever they may be around the nation and around the world. We ask, Father, for the manifestation of your power and of your glory, that you will heal, deliver, and set free. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us the ability to comprehend the things you reveal to us, and show us how to incorporate them in our daily lives. We pray that you forgive us of every sin, every transgression, every act, every deed, every word that has not been pleasing to you, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, creating us clean hearts and renew the right spirit in us. We commit this time to you and pray, Father, that you will just have your way among us. And we bless you and we honor you and we thank you for all that you do, for all that you have done, and for all that you shall do. Blessed be your name forever, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So today we are continuing in our study of Deuteronomy with the message, a prophecy of Israel's destruction. And last week and the week before that, we kind of touched a little bit on how Father revealed the new covenant revealed in the previous chapter. And today we're going to pick up where we left off last week. The prophetic ministry of Moses takes center stage as Moses the prophet prepares Israel for the transition of his leadership to Joshua, who will lead the people over the Jordan to take possession of the promised land. The hearing and reading of the law are emphasized so that all of Israel and those who joined themselves to Israel would know what was expected of them and the consequences thereof. Moses is informed by Jehovah that Israel would prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land they were entering, and that they would forsake him, break his covenant that they made with him, and as a result, experience destruction at his hand. And so what we're going to see here is a continuation of Moses' prophetic ministry. Remember, we declared the Torah a prophetic book. And for the main reason is that when we look at the books of the prophets, the reason why the prophets and the books of the prophets are called the prophets, because these individuals heard what Father said to speak to a particular people. Well, Moses was the greatest prophet according to Deuteronomy, and no prophet rose after him in all of Israel that was likened unto Moses. Moses not only heard the voice of the Almighty, but Father said he spoke face to face with Moses, and so Moses would be considered a prophet. Now, in this particular chapter, Moses continued his prophetic ministry because he's going to speak some things into Israel's future that those who hear should have been forewarned, so when the time came that these things would manifest, they should have remembered. Now, Israel has had a problem remembering, and much of what Father shared with them, he constantly emphasized the fact, remember, remember, and do not forget. Moses is informed by Jehovah that Israel would prostitute themselves and as a result experience destruction. And here in chapter chapter 31, verse 1, it states, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel." Now, this is a conversation Father was having with Moses in the previous chapter. He'll continue that conversation in this chapter, and he's going to reveal some things, but he's speaking those things that Father had given him to Israel. And he said unto them, "I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, Jehovah has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan." So Moses was not going to be able to go in and come out any further because Jehovah had spoken to him that his days were numbered. His days were practically over. We know that Moses continues to climb mountains. His eyes were not dimmed, as we'll see in the final chapters, the final chapter of Deuteronomy. And so it's not that Moses was feeble or anything, whereas he could not come in and go out amongst the people, is that his ministry had come to a conclusion, and it's time for him to transition the leadership that he had to Joshua. And so he was not going to be able to go over the Jordan. Jehovah told Moses he would not lead the people into the land of promise. Now, previously we learned that Aaron was 123 years old when he died. Moses would be 120 when he died, but Aaron was 123 years. In Numbers 33, we went over that, and Aaron the priest went up into Mount Hor at the commandment of Jehovah and died there. So he went up into the mountain as well, and he was 123 years old. And in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the first day of the fifth month. And again, Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. Aaron and Moses was forbidden to enter the promised land because of their disobedience. Numbers 20:12. "And Jehovah spoke unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." And so way back then, Father had already communicated to both Aaron and Moses that neither of them would enter into the land that Moses spent 40 years of his life really leading the people out of Egypt into. Moses informed the people that Jehovah would destroy the nations before them and that Joshua would lead them. Again, this is part of Moses' prophetic ministry. Moses informed the people that Jehovah would destroy the nations before them, Joshua would lead them, and then they would possess the nations. In the process of it, they could have possessed these nations' land 40 years earlier if they had believed Jehovah. So what we see here is their entry was delayed. And what we can learn from this is that certain things in our lives are delayed because of disobedience or rebellion or unbelief. And I've shared before, you know, I've seen situations where I received prophecy and prophecy was timeline, and then it went beyond the timeline. And Father revealed to me the reason why that prophecy was not fulfilled in the timeline it was given. It's because I'd ran my mouth. I'd said some things. I'd done something that was not pleasing to the Almighty. And although he brought to pass that word which was spoken, it was delayed. And I can't help but wonder how much of what Father desires to do in our lives today because of his desire to do, and yet because of our own doing, we may be delaying things that Father wants to do in his life. That's why it's important for us to examine ourselves and make sure that what we are doing is in line with what Father is saying. Disobedience, rebellion, and unbelief are serious enemies of any brother or sister of faith in Messiah. Verse 3, "Jehovah thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them, And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as Jehovah has said. And Jehovah shall do unto them as he did to Sion, and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. Now, Jehovah put the fear of Israel in the hearts of the nations. And what's interesting is that he puts the fear of his people in the hearts of the nations today. Verse 5, and Jehovah shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Now, in this particular verse, it's speaking about what Father spoke to them when he gave Sion and Og, king of the Amorites, and we can find this in Deuteronomy chapter 2. They were instructed, rise you up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. So what you see here is Father putting fear in the hearts of the nations that the Israelites will pass through. And he says, and who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee? What will they hear? They will hear what Father did to the nations that Israel passed through, especially those who went out to fight against them instead of letting them pass. Verse 33, Deuteronomy 2. And Jehovah our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves and the spoil of the cities which we took. So we see here that not only did the Almighty give them these nations and these kings, and they destroyed the people in the city, they also took spoils of the cattle and whatever other spoils they were given permission to take. Now, in some places, Father allowed the children of Israel or took the children of Israel through. He says, you destroy everything. Don't take anything. But in other nations or other cities that he took them through, he permitted them to take spoils and to take their animals. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For Jehovah thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now I remember when I learned Joshua 1:8 and how in Joshua, Father spoke to him concerning be strong and courageous. But what we see here in verse 6, Moses is speaking to all of Israel. All of Israel were commanded to be strong, courageous, not to fear or to be afraid. So that's us. We are commanded to be strong, to be courageous, not to fear or be afraid. And so if we take upon us the Torah and the instructions therein, then we would be a people who are strong, courageous, not fearful, nor afraid of the people or the nations around us. When the new year come, according to the law, I would even encourage you to make this your new year resolution. What? Be strong, be courageous, not fearful, and will not be afraid. And I declare, I'm strong, I am courageous, I will not be afraid, nor will I fear. And so you don't have to wait to the new year, you can do that now. Now, some people have already declared the new year month of Abib started a couple of days ago. That seems to be connected with the full moon and zodiac signs, which for me is completely baffling. However, we have not declared the month of Abib, and the barley has not been declared Abib. And so, you know, the question is How can people declare the month Abib without there being a barley that is Abib? The biblical new year for us has not occurred, which is why, you know, we encourage people to download our app. If you're on the watch page on our website, right underneath that video screen, you'll see where you can download our app. So you will be informed, not misinformed, and won't be misled or tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We know that there are various means by which people interpret signs and times, and therefore our means of interpreting the signs and times is according to what we believe Scripture clearly teach. And because of that, we're not tossed to and fro, as Paul informed the Ephesians, in which he says, you know, Father has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect us. And therefore, we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so you're going to hear people declaring the new moon. You're going to hear people declaring the new year. You're going to hear people saying things. But for us, those who follow this ministry, what we are following is the signs that we see that is clearly articulated in the Bible. And if you go to our feast page, you'll notice if you go to the feast page that at the top of the page, you'll see how we observe the new year and how we observe, you know, the month of Aviv and the feast. In Deuteronomy 31 verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which Jehovah has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, and so he's instructing Joshua that which Jehovah has given him to instruct. And Jehovah, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So we see the instruction that Moses is giving Joshua, Jehovah has given to us. The instruction that Moses gave to Joshua, Jehovah has given to us. To be strong, to be courageous, not to be afraid, and not to fear. Moses gives the law to the priests. Verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of Jehovah, and unto all the elders of Israel. And so we see that he gives it to the priests, and the priests are part of the the tribe of Levi, and they were responsible for the ark of the covenant, the furnishings in the tabernacle itself. And therefore, Moses gave them this law. He delivered it unto the priests. Verse 10, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles. And so he gives them specific instructions. And we went over these instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1, where it talks about at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. That's Shemitah. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it, and he shall not exact of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release. And so this is the year of releasing debt or forgiving debt. Verse 11. When all Israel is come to appear before Jehovah, thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. So in the seventh year, during the Feast of Tabernacle, the law was to be read in the hearing of the people. However, they were to go to the place which he shall choose, and over the course of them leaving Egypt to the time of the temple, that place changed wherever the tabernacle went. Three times a year, however, in Deuteronomy 16, they were instructed that every year three times during the Feast of Weeks, Unleavened Bread, and Tabernacle, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacle, all of Israel was supposed to go up to the place where he will choose, and they were not to appear before him empty. Verse 12, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates. Now notice he says, gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates. Remember, we talked about the law was given to the strangers that sojourned amongst them. There was one law for everybody, that they may learn and fear Jehovah your God and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over the Jordan to possess it. So what we see here, brothers and sisters, is that everybody was responsible to hear. Everybody was responsible to hear. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn. Now, we also know that not only were they all responsible for hearing, that the parents were responsible for teaching the children. And that doesn't change a change in leadership. Deuteronomy 31:14. And Jehovah said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. So we see now Jehovah is going to give Joshua a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And Jehovah appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And Jehovah said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with your fathers. And so he's speaking to Joshua and Moses. He says to Moses, Moses, you're going to sleep with your fathers. In other words, you're going to die. And this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Now, what's really interesting, brothers and sisters, is that he's saying to them, now, we know that Israel was rebellious in the wilderness. But then once they went into the land and they saw the way the people lived, that they were going to go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers that they are commanded to drive out. Now, it's something about the world around us that is so appealing to us that its appeal can draw us away from the word of Jehovah if we are not diligently hearkening to obey his commandments. See, this is not a casual walk. This is not a walk you walk when you feel like it. This is why Jehovah is saying to the children of Israel, you got to be strong, you got to be courageous, you can't be afraid, and you cannot fear. It takes faith to stand on the word of Jehovah when the world around us that has no faith seem to be living their best lives. But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, what you see with your eyes and the reality behind it is not all that is cooked up to be, because there is so much perpetration and a world that seems like it's having such a good time, whereas behind the scenes, many of these people are just flat out miserable with no direction and have no clue as to an afterlife or even how to live their lives in a way that is pleasing to the Most High. And yet, Father has made those ways known to us. So Moses now is prophesying. Father is speaking to Joshua. He's speaking to Moses. He's speaking to Moses in the presence of Joshua saying, Moses, you're going to die. Joshua, we're going to lead these people in, but you need to know some things. You need to know some things about the people that you now will be responsible for leading. They're going to go whoring. These people are going to rebel, so you might as well prepare yourself for that. So, you know, you can't take what these individuals do personally, because Moses took some stuff personally, and as a result of him taking some things personally, he forfeited his access into the land of promise. So you need to know some things. You got to be strong. You got to be courageous. You cannot be afraid, and you cannot fear, and you certainly can't fear these people. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? That's what they should realize. Because, see, what happens sometimes is that people get complacent, and then they take things for granted and take on a sense of entitlement. You see, when a people has been taken care of, a people who have been provided for, what you'll find these people sometimes doing is looking at what they didn't have and ignoring all the other stuff they did have. Looking at that thing that they didn't have, and this is where you find people get daddy issues and mommy issues and all these other issues, is that all of the good stuff that was provided for them, for some reason or another, get obscured because they focus on something that wasn't provided. And sometimes these people will take on an attitude and a spirit of anger, and they'll waddle in that filth. And what happens is that they're no longer thankful. They're no longer grateful for what has been done for them. They take on a sense of entitlement. And they can even turn on the parents, just like these individuals turn on Jehovah. This is a reality, folks. It's written right here in the book, if we see it in its true form. And Father says, when that happens, I'm going to get angry at these people. And he has every right to get angry with them. Why? Because they got a covenant together. They are in covenant. These people said that they are going to do what Jehovah said. And Jehovah said, this is what he's going to do for these people. And when they go a-whoring, because he says, you don't bow down to other gods. You don't make any graven images. You don't worship them. And this is exactly what they did. And he said, I will surely hide my face in that day. For all the evils which they shall have wrought in that they are turned unto other gods. Now notice what the blessing says. The blessing says, Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So you see his face, his countenance is important, but Jehovah says instead of causing his face to shine on the people and lifting up his countenance upon them, he's going to turn his face away from them. And what does that mean? The face of Jehovah would no longer shine on them. And in that, the light is going to be turned to darkness, and the evil that Jehovah's face kept at bay from the people now have complete access to the people. See, this is the danger and the damage that comes, the consequences of disobedience. Sometimes you just don't even realize that the Almighty is doing all these things for you. And as a result, you can come to the conclusion that these are the things because of you. And next thing you know, you start going through some stuff. And at that moment, hopefully, you'll remember, and like these people, they will say, are not all these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Because our God is not with us? And the people should say, yeah. Now, what's the response? Repent. Repentance. So Joshua, as the new leader of Israel, was given insider information about the people he would lead. Father is saying, Joshua, these are the people that I'm turning over to your leadership now. Be strong, be courageous, don't fear, and do not be afraid. You're going to have to stand up and say things to people that they are not going to want to hear. And remember, they turned on Moses. They even rose up to kill Moses and Joshua. And Moses was afraid of the people and got upset, very upset. And so now Jehovah's saying, because of these people and what they're going to do, I'm going to give you a song. And some people call it the song of Moses, but it's not the song of Moses, just like it's not some covenant of Moses or Mosaic covenant. Moses didn't make a covenant with the people. Moses made a covenant with Jehovah along with all the other people who made a covenant with Jehovah. So there's no such thing as a Mosaic covenant. That's a theological term. The law of Moses is not the law of Moses. It's Jehovah's law. It's not the song of Moses. It's Jehovah's prophetic song of rebellion. Moses is given the song from Jehovah to teach the children of Jehovah, and they should remember when they experience the evil that would come upon them when they turned away from the Most High. Jehovah commands Moses to write a song of rebellion as a testimony of broken covenant caused by Israel's rebellion. Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And so this put it in their mouths appears. Jehovah's instructed Moses to have them sing the song and memorize it from generation to generation to teach the generations. The Israelites sang several songs after leaving Egypt, but this song is the only song they were commanded to sing and remember from generation to generation in the whole Torah. Now, you would think that when Jehovah brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and set up the method in which they were to come before the Almighty and worship him, you would think that if there was the necessity for songs to be sung to Jehovah, Jehovah would have given Israel songs of worship to present before him. Songs of praise to present before him. But in all of the Torah, and for all the years of wandering, and for all the years the tabernacle was established, and for all the years that the priests and their sons and their sons and their sons served the Most High, not one song was ever given to Israel in the law to sing unto Jehovah except this song of rebellion, a song that would remind them of their rebellion. Let that sink in. Deuteronomy 31:20. For when I shall have brought them into the land, which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. Now, this is why the new covenant was necessary. Israel broke the first, or what people call the old covenant. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that. Now, this is after Israel has gone into the land and then taken out of the land into captivity into Babylon. And Jeremiah is raised up to prophesy to Israel. And he says, behold, the days, Jehovah saith, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. So Israel broke covenant with Jehovah, and therefore the covenant was null and void. They broke covenant with him. And so he's going to make a new covenant because the old covenant was broken. Although I was a husband unto them. And now Jehovah used this language. He was a husband to them, meaning that Israel was his bride. And this, of course, is not literal. It's figurative, if you would. But Israel was the wife of Jehovah, which he would ultimately give them a certificate of divorce. He says, although I was a husband unto them, saith Jehovah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith. So he's speaking futuristic. After those days, saith Jehovah, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 8:7, again, where it is. For if that first covenant had been faultless. See, this is where theologians want to tell us, well, you know, the covenant was flawed. The covenant, you know, nobody can keep all them laws. Nobody can keep all those laws. That's why, you know, nobody can keep the law. That's their response. See, as if the covenant was, the law was at fault. For if that first covenant had been faultless, and this is how they read it, if that first covenant had been faultless. Now, it doesn't say, see, the first covenant, see, and here's what people will do. People will look at the covenant, not the people who are making covenant. You see, the covenant was between God and the people. And somewhere there was a fault. If the covenant had not been faultless, or had been faultless, there would be no need for a second covenant. But the covenant was not faultless in the sense that one party broke the covenant. And who was that party? Verse 8, for finding fault with them, Jehovah said, because they were at fault when they went whoring after other gods. And it's not that the covenant itself was faulty, is that the people were at fault for breaking the covenant, and therefore there was a necessity for a second covenant. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So the fault did not lie with the covenant. The fault lied with the people who broke the covenant, the children of Israel. Verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. So not only were they at fault, but they stopped keeping covenant, and therefore the covenant was null and voided, which now there needs to be a new covenant or a second covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Jehovah. Why? Because they continued not in my covenant. Jehovah didn't break covenant with the children of Israel, and the law was not faulty. It was the people. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Jehovah. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now get this revelation. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother. Who was responsible for teaching every man his neighbor and every man his brother? See, this was them hearing. Every 7 years they were supposed to hear the whole covenant. And whenever there was an issue or dispute, they were supposed to go to the judges. At first they went to Moses, and then to the judges, and then to the kings. And the neighbors were not to teach the neighbors, and the brothers were not to teach the brothers, saying, know Jehovah, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Each person who heard the law read was responsible for the law. It was a priest's responsibility to teach them. Each person who heard the law read was responsible for the law. The commandment to teach your children still applied. Deuteronomy 31, verse 21. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination, which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. So look at them. they're already imagining how they're going to break the covenant and how they're going to go a-whoring after other gods, and they are not even in the land yet. Now, Jehovah not only knew the people, but he knew their imagination. That word for imagination, form, framing, purpose, framework, the way it's used, imagination. And in the bottom portion of that 1B, purpose, imagination, device, intellectual framework, the way a person thinks. Imagination, usage, frame, mind, theme. A way a person thinks, what people imagine, those fantasies that they have in their minds that they don't talk about but think about. Father sees all that stuff. He sees whatever is going on in the mind. Man's imagination before Noah. See, our imagination is messed up, folks. I mean, we imagine good things, but most of the stuff, if you think about it, if you pay attention, this is why I say to people, you gotta pay attention to your thinking. You have to know what's going on in your mind. You just can't let your mind run free because your mind will go in places it got no business going. That's just the way our corrupt mind is. Before the flood, this is what Jehovah said. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his hearts was just evil continually. I know what goes on in my head. I know the stuff that I think about. And there's a lot of things that I used to think about that I would be shamed after thinking about them while enjoying thinking about them at the time. Imagining myself doing things that brought pleasure to my flesh but would be disappointing and displeasing to Jehovah. And when I think about these things, and you know, you see some people, they talk and they're imagining and they're going off and they're saying things. And I hear people talking about their old sin and they say it with a smile. You know, that ain't the way I used to be, man. I used to be, you know, I used to be this and I used to be that. And they look like they're enjoying talking about what they used to be, even though what they used to be was an abomination in the sight of the Almighty. I'm going to tell you something. This flesh finds pleasure in wickedness. And this is why you got to monitor. Their thoughts were evil continually. And it repented Jehovah that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And Jehovah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. After the flood, man's imagination. And Jehovah smelled the sweet savor, and Jehovah said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. See, that's not going to solve the issue. Destroying man is not going to solve the imagination issue. It's the individual's responsibility to deal with their imagination, to take those thoughts captive. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you got to take those captive. You can't allow strongholds to develop in your mind, because if you allow yourself to fantasize once and you don't stop it, you'll allow yourself to fantasize more and more. The next thing you know, that thing becomes a part of your heart, begins to develop a stronghold, and now you're looking for a way to pursue and to actually make reality the things that you have fantasized or imagined in your heart. Jehovah not only knew the people, but he knew their imagination also. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. This is what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusts in Jehovah and whose hope Jehovah is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. See, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Jehovah, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. See, our heart is messed up. That mind of ours, and I'll tell you, you can go into your dreams, people be having dreams, and sometimes these dreams go into places, and you know, it's you should not take any pleasure, whether it be in daydreaming or night dreaming or any form of a dream, or allowing your mind to go places that it shouldn't, and finding pleasure in the places that you allow your mind to go, because you have to look at the thoughts that you're thinking, the dreams that you're dreaming, and what you're imagining, and compare them to what does the word say about that. See, if I commit fornication in my dream and I find pleasure in that, then in my dream I violated God. See, I believe this is what Yeshua was saying, that when a man looks upon a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he's already committed adultery. So you got to take these thoughts captive. You got to pull the, you can't allow your mind to go wherever. You got to take on the mind of Messiah. And your mind, your Messiah's mind won't go into those places. Verse 22. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. Now, how do you teach a child, or how do you teach people a song? You teach them the words of the song, and then you hear them sing the song. You teach them the song, and then they sing the song. And if they get the song right the way you taught it, you know, you might say, this is rehearsal. This is rehearsal. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto thee, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. Now, this word book is where people get the word sefer, sefer. And now you got a book out there called the Sefer, and because it's a biblical word, Sefer simply means book. It's a document. It's a writing. It could be a letter of instructions, written order, commission, request, written decree, a legal document, or certificate of divorce, a deed of purchase, an indictment, a sign, a book, a scroll, a book of prophecies. And people see the Sefer, and that word means something to them. A sefer simply means book. Verse 25. So Moses wrote it, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of Jehovah, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant. Now here's where, you know, you look at this verse, that Moses commanded the Levites. Now, what you don't see here is Moses commanded the priests, which were Levites. But if you look at what the instruction is, no Levite can go into where the Ark of the Covenant was. So even though you don't see priests in this verse, it is the priests who could go inside the tabernacle in the holy place. And where the Ark of the Covenant is the most holy place, which they were really only allowed to go in once a year. And that's during what? During what? The Day of Atonement. But here he's instructing the Levites. So the mind of a Torah observant person should say, hold up. Now, previously, he said the priests who were Levites. But here, priest is left out, that Moses command the priests who were Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the covenant, in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. You see, the Levites weren't even supposed to see the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, until it was what? Covered. This is why you have to take the counsel of the Torah and not look at a particular verse and draw a particular conclusion. You have to look at every place where this is, as far as the Ark of the Covenant, the Levites, the priests, and the commandments that surrounds them, so that you would know what is actually being said here. The written law was placed on the side of the Ark of the Covenant. Each time the Ark was to be moved, they would see the book of the law. The tablets of stones were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, Deuteronomy 10:1. At that time, Jehovah said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me unto the mount, and make thee an ark of wood, and I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest, and thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, Moses said, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And he wrote on the tables, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which Jehovah spoke unto you in the mount of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And Jehovah gave them unto me. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and did what with them? Put the tables in the ark, which I had made. And there they be, as Jehovah commanded me. Now, that was probably the last time the children of Israel saw those stone tablets. Because Moses put them in the ark. As far as the book that was written on the side of the ark, every 7 years, that book was read. And if you look at the order, there's a Day of Atonement, where first the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and then you see the Feast of Tabernacles, and you'll see the eighth day. So when you begin to look at the order of it, every 7 years, they were to take that book and read it in the midst of the assembly. And so, and he wrote, and he turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark, which I had commanded, and there they be. Verse 27, Jehovah says, for I know your rebellion, your stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you, Moses saying, you have been rebellious against Jehovah. How much more after my death? Moses witnessed the rebellion of Israel. They frustrated Moses to such a degree that he disobeyed Jehovah, and as a result was forbidden to enter the promised land he had spent 40 years of his life leading them to, only to be denied entry himself. That's a tragedy. Verse 7, Numbers 20. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak you unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation in their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before Jehovah as he commanded him, and look at what Moses did. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, you rebels! Must we fetch you water out of the rock too? Moses is frustrated. If you look at the context and how he's speaking, see, Jehovah didn't tell Moses to say none of that. And he certainly didn't tell Moses to lift up his hand with his rod and smote the rock. He told him to speak. What did he say to him? Speak to it. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So that moment, Moses was denied access. And this is why you should not compromise Jehovah's word when dealing with people, especially his people. I know you got sons, you got daughters, you got family members, brothers and sisters, you got people that you love and care about, but you should care about nobody more than you care about Jehovah. You think Jehovah is going to forgive you because you denied his instruction, demonstrated disobedience and rebellion to him in order to please your family member? Moses spent he spent 40 years of his life going into Egypt, confronting Pharaoh, bringing the people out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and then the people turned on him on top of that. And now, because of his frustration with them, he disobeyed the Most High, and as a result, it costed Moses. You see? And people be talking about some Joshua generation. Man, you better get out of here with that. Those folks was rebellious under Joshua. If anything, Joshua was the one. See, Moses, Jehovah's saying, Joshua, now you've been with Moses ever since. You all came out of Egypt together. You've seen these people. You see what they did. You see how they turned on Moses. You see how they turned on Aaron. You see how they turned on me. What do you think they're going to do to you, Joshua? This is why he's telling them that. These people are rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. And when they get into the land, they're going to turn. And I'm going to turn my face away from them. So know what you're dealing with and know who you're leading. I say this to leaders, not so you'll be mean or upset, is that when somebody don't want to do what the words say, that's their choice. Ain't no sense in getting upset at them. If somebody wants to be in rebellion and you tell them, hey, you're in rebellion, and they continue to choose that rebellion, that's their choice. That's their life. Don't you rebel. You can't make people serve the Almighty. You can't make people do what they're supposed to do. All you can do is teach them. And when they start going down the wrong road, don't you follow them. Don't you chase after them. They'll be back if they got a heart of repentance. And it takes a lot. Once you start going down that path and you end up someplace you know you ain't got no business being, it takes a lot of courage to turn around and come back and say, hey, I was wrong. I messed up. Forgive me. If your brother comes to you, you have no choice but to forgive him. How many times? As often as they come. But don't go chasing after him. The prodigal son's father didn't go looking for that boy. Did he? He didn't. He'll learn. Hopefully he'll get the message. See, your job is to put it in them so when they get out there and they start seeing the things because they're going contrary to what you done put in them, then hopefully they can make a comparison. This is not how I'm supposed to be living. Why? Because you've taught them. Now, if you haven't taught them, that's another issue. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of Jehovah to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. This word utterly corrupt, to destroy. You will corrupt, you will destroy yourself. You will be destroying yourself. You'll go into corruption, you'll go into ruin, into decay. You'll become the spoil, you'll be corrupt. All of this, perverted. And Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And I believe that's the end. Yep. We have come to the end of chapter 31. And so what, you know, when I look at the life of Moses and I see the things that Moses went through, and I know that in the world that we live in, and I was talking to a gentleman today. Actually, it was my banker, and just sharing with him, and he was asking me about, you know, do I have any more trips coming up, and I was sharing with him how I desire to go to Ukraine. My desire is to go to Ukraine. That's where my heart is. And right now, I don't see how that is feasible. And I'm saying this to say, because, see, the political the way things are political right now, there is a lot of uncertainties, and with travel that is taking place, with air travel specifically, and laws and rules, and the issues that's going on between Ukraine with Russia, who, you know, decided that they're going to just try to take some land, and all of this, and then you got all this misinformation. And what is happening is it is causing brothers to rise up against brothers. Hearing Ukrainian brothers who have family members in Russia, and Russians who have family members in Ukraine, and then the issue, and I'm sharing this with him, it's like, you know, there's some issues in politics that's just made this thing even worse. But the point is that we are not of the political arena. Our role and our responsibility is of the kingdom. And so Ukrainian brothers and Russian brothers should love each other, not because of the government and what governments are doing, but because of what their king and master has done, you see. And then for people as an American, I know that anywhere I go as an American, especially in places, there's a lot of folks who got a problem with Americans right now because. And so the whole point is that we have to focus on the kingdom, and then we have to focus not only on the kingdom, but on the words of the king, lest we get caught up in all that other peripheral stuff. And next thing you know, we find ourselves fighting the wrong battle. You and I must stay focused on what is written and be diligent about it. At the same time, we have to search our hearts and see the things that motivate us. I was thinking earlier today that sometimes when ministers want to make a name for themselves, they got to come up with something new, come up with some new doctrine, and next thing you know, this is them, and then they can pull themselves away because they don't agree with something. Brothers and sisters, we got Jehovah's word. And when we stand on his word, guess what? Jehovah stands with us. And I would encourage you as we come to the conclusion, Father has spoken prophetically. There's a lot of things in the world that people will go a-whoring after. But we have to stay focused on what his words say and then trust him above everything else. Do I understand everything in this word? No, I don't. Do I understand why Jehovah says do these things? No, I don't. There's some things I do understand. There's some things I don't understand. But here's what I do know. I trust him. Whether I understand a thing or not, I trust him. And I would tell you, trust him. Lean not to your own understanding. Amen. Acknowledge him and he will do what? He will direct you. Father in heaven, we just thank you. We thank you for this time together in this word, in this portion of Deuteronomy, and we ask continuously that you will help us to learn how to walk in accordance to your word. Help us to not get caught up in what somebody is or is not doing. Help us to not enter into strife with brethren. Help us to stay focused on what it is that you have called us and walk in love, even with those who may have issues with us. And I thank you for your word, for it is clear. It is clear and an instructive. It is for our living, for our learning. And help us to be diligent in it. I thank you. I love you. We love you. I bless you. We bless you. And we pray your blessings upon us. In fact, we pray your blessings on all creation. In Yeshua's name. Amen. All right, with that, any comments, questions? Let me share with you all a few announcements. Now, first, let me give you an opportunity to give. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this time of giving. We pray your blessings upon these gifts and upon these givers. May none lack as a result of their giving. but to the contrary, cause the windows of heaven, the treasures of heaven, the blessings of heaven to manifest in our midst. And we thank you for providing for us even these gifts that we can return to you in the form of tithe and offerings and first fruits. And as we embark upon the year of the third tithe, help us to see the benefits of honoring you in all of your instructions. Be glorified in our giving. Be glorified in our living in Yeshua's name. Amen. So for those of you who are desirous to support our ministry, we encourage you to do so. And if you go to our website, arthurbaileyministries.com, you'll see the donate button. If you click that donate button, it'll bring you to this page. And on this page are ways to give. And the first five are fee-free. Zelle, Venmo, Cash App, Bill Pay, sending checks or money order in the mail to our P.O. Box 1182 Fort Mill, South Carolina, 29716 address. All of those means 100% of your contribution comes to us. You can also use PayPal donations, wire funds to us. You can call your donation in. You can text to give. And those of you in Canada, you can use the Canadian donation link. And that link will help you as if you want to file your donations with the Internal Revenue or the Canadian Revenue Service there in Canada, like we do here in the United States. And so whatever means in which you give, we certainly appreciate your giving. In addition, there are ways that you can enhance and grow your faith. Now, I mentioned earlier about the feast. If you go to the feast page, you'll see on this page, once you get there, that there are two blue bars at the top. How do we determine when the new month began? And you can click that and it'll bring you to this page and you'll see all of the reasons why we focus on observance of the renewed moon sightings. And so that's a reason. And then you'll see how or HOI feast days observance information. And these are the feasts we are commanded to keep. Now, you won't see Purim and you won't see Hanukkah on there because they are not commanded feasts. And so these are HOI's feast day observance. And these are the days and annual feasts that we focus on. And you may say, well, why is the biblical new year and in the month? All of that, we observe the new moon and we celebrate the biblical new year as the first day of the biblical month in observance to, you know, keeping the feast and observing the month of Aviv. Those are there for your learning. In addition to that, we have free books that you can get under the read section. If you go to the free ebooks, you'll see all of these books that you can download. We encourage you to download them at your pleasure, read them at your pleasure, learn from them at your pleasure. They're all there for you, and unless the internet breaks, they ain't going nowhere. In addition to that, we have new books that we have printed that are in our marketplace. And if you go to the marketplace and go to the book section, you'll see that there are new books that are there. And if you scroll down, you'll see all of the latest ones. They're at the top of the page. And then as you go further, you'll see books that have been there for some time. And we encourage you, all of these books there are available. Some of them are paperback, some of them are hard copies. And wherever you see beginning or starting from, wherever you see the from there, you'll notice that that is not only a paperback, but it's a hardcover, and you can have or purchase whatever your heart desire. We will be celebrating the early feast. We'll be looking for the new moon sighting and the barley being Aviv, and we anticipate that that will happen next month. We'll be celebrating here at House of Israel. We're going to have workshops as well as our marketplace that will be available for you. We have some confirmed workshops, painting with the saints, canning and food preservation, essentials of Torah. We have youth program, Essentials of Torah. We have those who want to learn how to can and food preparation, and then there's going to be some painting with the saints. Folks going to have fun painting, and we encourage those of you who have something that you would like to bring to the marketplace or a workshop that you would like to conduct, please contact us at the Contact Us form on our website. Let us know, and we'll see how that fit in. So all you have to do is contact us on the Contact Us form, and you'll find that form on the About, under the About heading on the website. Just go to About, Contact Us, and you'll be there. Now, for those of you who also want to download our app, on our live stream page or our watch page, all you have to do is scroll down underneath that screen, and you'll see where you can download our app. And once you download our app, you'll be notified when the new month begins. You'll be notified when the Sabbath services are and the Thursday services. Those who have our app, whether you have a iPhone or a Android, you can download on either. You can use the Contact Us on there to contact us. All of those services are there, and they are free. Amen. Tomorrow night, our Sabbath premiere is feet washing. And then on Sabbath, Yeshua, our brother, we're going to continue in our verse-by-verse study in the book of Hebrews, or the letter to the Hebrews. We'll be in chapter 2, and we invite all of you to join in with us. If there are no questions, no comments, then we're going to bring this portion of our service to a close. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercies. We thank you for the opportunity to fellowship and to bring forth your word in this environment where it is needed so desperately. We pray that you give us the ability to comprehend these things and then show us how to again apply them. We pray your blessings upon your people. And now, you know, even as we are continuing our learning process in our Sabbath premiere and our live Sabbath services, we pray that you'll continue to be with us, be with your people wherever they may be. Continue to bless them and order their steps in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. All right. Well, blessings to you. Thank you again for joining with us. Remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers, your support is greatly needed and greatly appreciated. And we look forward to seeing you again. And until Shabbat, Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith, and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3:11-12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.